You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I have two announcements. One is concerning my Friday show. Normally on Friday is a longer show, anywhere from an hour and a half to maybe 3 hours. Unfortunately, the entire department will be shut down, the student media department. That includes both our radio station, our television station, as well as the Richland Chronicle. And the reason for this is the fact that a group of students from the Richland Chronicle are going to a competition. I don't know the details. They're about ready to leave. And every time this happens, it seems that they shut down the department. Now, I've complained about it, but I'm not getting any sympathy, if you will. So I want to alert you, there will not be a Friday show at all, so the next show will be Monday. Also, I was informed about an hour ago that they will be leaving early, so my regular 4 to 5 show is going to be cut short. And as I was entering the studio, it might be a very short show because it could be only 10 minutes to 30 minutes. So we'll play it by ear, and I'll try to hit what I think is the most important story, not only in Dallas and Texas and the United States, as well as the world today, and that is the Ebola is spreading around the world. It is on the verge, and many would say it's beyond the tipping point. It is already an epidemic in several countries in West Africa. It has now spread to Spain, Australia, the United States, and there's some other ones I just slipped my mind, but there's several countries that now have reported cases. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid we're in for a pandemic. And I happen to be in Dallas, but it doesn't matter where you are. This is a very lethal virus. Now, I've reported the information. It's how lethal it is anywhere from 50 to 90%. It varies from country to country, depending on, again, the medical treatment you can get, as well as the condition of the patient. And the problem is you're rolling the dice. And governments are not known for telling the truth, and they're really talking out of both sides of their mouth. Prior to this outbreak in Africa, the Center for Disease Control, a U.S. government agency responsible for protecting the public health of the American people, made it very, very clear if you were dealing with the Ebola virus, it had to be handled in what's called a biosafety level 4 facility. And there are very, very few biosafety level 4 facilities in the world. There are several in the United States, several in Europe. They're expensive to operate, and they're also a very dangerous place to work in. You literally have to be in a spacesuit breathing self-contained oxygen, usually provided for the facility. In other words, you can't breathe in when you're in a biosafety level 4 lab. You can't breathe the air that's actually in the lab. You have to have oxygen pumped to you in a spacesuit that's positively pressured. So if there is a break, it rushes out. It's under pressure. There's a reason the CDC required that. They understand how deadly it is. Now, what's changed? Now they're telling the American people, oh, it's not airborne. The only way you can get this, if you come in direct physical contact with the body fluids of someone that has the Ebola virus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. It's airborne. It is spread once the virus is using the human body as a host. It's eating the insides of a human body. It eats your body tissue as well as your organs. And in the final stages, you bleed to death. You bleed out. Why? You're bleeding from the eyes, the nose, your mouth, pores or sores on your entire body, as well as your anus. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you're bleeding to death. And why that's going on? The virus is replicating all throughout your body. It's turning it into mush, and your body organs are shutting down. The only thing it doesn't attack is your bones and your muscles. But other than that, it goes after everything. Your heart, your brain, you name it, kidney, liver. So you can die of many things, but it's the virus that's truly killing you. That's how dangerous it is. And in some strains, it's over 90% lethal. That's why you had to be in a biosafety level 4 facility. And the people working there were constantly aware that the biggest threat was to them. Because when you're working in a lab, you're working with instruments, and you could cut your suit, a rupture in your suit. And then the airborne Ebola could get in the suit and could kill you. There's no guarantee. You might get lucky. The pressure might be such that the virus doesn't get in and you can get out and get decontaminated. Or you could cut yourself. And that's one way. And what you need to understand, your body has microscopic cuts. So you might not have a cut that you're aware of, but they're there. And viruses are very, very small. In a period, if you look at a letter, the letter I in that period, there are millions of viruses in that I. That's how small they are. It takes an electron microscope to get a photograph of what they look like. They're very, very small, but they're replicating and they're eating you. And they want to survive, and one way they survive is to jump from one host to the next. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Let's assume not the worst case or the best case, just let's say every major city in the United States had 10, 15, 20 cases. In other words, it's spreading, and it wants to spread because the virus wants to survive. What happens? People go to their local hospital for treatment. There are very few, and for all practical purposes, most hospitals, I won't say all, but literally almost all hospitals do not have, let me emphasize it, do not have a biosafety level 4 facility to treat you in. You need those spacesuits. And you can't come in contact with the person. Now, you can suit up, and you could wear a portable spacesuit. They exist, and they've been used in the past in the field. And that's what it takes. But most hospitals are not equipped with that. They certainly don't have a lab set up to treat you. The total number of beds that are in this type of facility are 22, and 10 of them are in Nebraska. Now, I'm a long way from Nebraska, not as far as some people, but I'm not going to Nebraska. Most people are totally unaware of this, and they're buying. I've been asking people, and the ignorance of this is the only way the government is getting away with this, because the people that know what they're talking about, that have worked in this field, know what I'm saying is the truth, and they fear that this Ebola virus is not only airborne, but is spreading, that we're beyond the tipping point. Because in past outbreaks of this virus, tens or hundreds died, not thousands. To date, there are over 3,500 deaths from it, and over 7,000 people have it. And those numbers are rapidly changing. This is very much a dynamic, moving process, and it's spreading. Yet we have a president of the United States and his director for the CDC that keep saying, and this is driving me nuts, and a number of people have pointed this out, we can't stop flights in and out of these countries that have been affected. What we're talking about is Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone. Those are the three major infected countries. There have also been cases in Nigeria, and that's disturbing because they have a very large population. and Senegal. But at least three countries, we should halt anybody coming from travelers from that country into our country. And that country should stop people exiting to the United States as well as Europe. You see, here's the problem. They say, well, we have procedures in place that'll stop this. Yeah, they're asking them questions. Anyone can lie. That's not going to stop it. They can take someone's temperature, and that's what they've been doing. Anyone with an ounce of common sense knows you can take drugs to bring down your temperature, so you can get on the airline. That's not going to stop anything. You have to stop them in place. You stop this epidemic in Liberia, in Guinea, in Sierra Leone, by quarantining the people and let the virus burn out, which means kill people. These countries are simply not equipped. They have a very low standard of living. And even though the doctors are doing their best, as is the medical staff and the nurses, they're dying too. There have been over 100 deaths of doctors, nurses, and medical people. And more will die because it is airborne. And they're trying to take precautions. They're wearing, you've seen them on television, and I need to point this out before I continue. The way you listen to this show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. Very top, you'll have links to my most recent 60 to 80 shows. At the very bottom, you'll have links to my entire portfolio, except some of the early shows. And in between, you will have information. And every day I'm adding to it, both articles, videos, and I'm trying to right now get the best videos. It's going to take me a little bit more time, and this show will be posted by 10 o'clock tonight, probably even earlier than that. But the reason I'm emphasizing this is the message apparently is not getting through to our leaders. We're on to what's going on. The American people, the ones that are getting informed on this and are concerned, are on the case. They're not going to, right now, we're in election year, and guess what? The Democrats, and I understand this, they're playing politics with this. Politics with it. We're totally unprepared to deal with an epidemic of Ebola in the United States. That's just the facts. And when you go to the hospital, should you develop it, there's no cure. There's no magic drug that's going to make you well. There's no cure. It's incurable. It's contagious. It's lethal. It's painful. I could read descriptions of what your body goes through, and it would gross you out, and I'm not doing that. But your chances of living are slim and none, and you die a very painful death. But the problem is the virus knows you're going to die and needs another meal, and the other meal are the doctors, the hospital, and the people trying to treat that patient. And not enough attention is being, and I'm trying to bring attention to this, that the people at high risk are the people responding and picking those people up at their homes or apartments or wherever they're living in, bring them to the hospital, and the staff that process them and then treats them. They are all at risk because this is airborne, like the flu that you get in the winter. And that is what they don't want the American people to know. And that's why I'm repeating this. I'm just a small voice in the wilderness. But there are too many people, especially experts in this, that know what I'm saying is absolutely correct. They're trying not to panic the people by lying to them. And in doing that, they're going to lose credibility rather quickly. I hope this thing burns out and what I'm saying in a couple of weeks is not a problem. I don't see that happening. There are already people predicting tens of thousands of people dying in Africa by the end of the year, as many as 250,000 people. And if that's the case, it's going to spread worldwide, and you're going to have multiple cases in the United States. And the sooner that we make the hard decisions and to stop the travel. Now, what the CDC says, well, we need to get international help in, and if we stop travel, that'll make it more difficult. Excuse me, are you for real? If the United States wants to send in the army and send in medical help and supplies, they can do it on a military aircraft. They don't need private airlines. And if they need to bring some Americans back that get it, they use military aircraft. You don't need commercial airline flights coming in and out of highly infected countries. What you need to do is quarantine those countries until we have some control of the situation. It is totally out of control in Africa. And given what I saw was the response in Dallas, there were plenty of mistakes made. But what disturbed me was, I know Presbyterian Hospital is 5 miles from where I'm sitting right now. I used to live about a mile away. It's an excellent, outstanding hospital with a highly professional staff, state of the art. You would want to go to Presbyterian Hospital if you were sick of anything. But here's the problem. Presbyterian Hospital does not have a biosafety level 4 beds or room containment. Let me just relate. And I've said this on past shows. I'll say it again. I don't mind giving a book a plug. And the reason I'm giving the plug, I've talked to a lot of students and staff. And the conclusion I've come to, they know little or nothing about it. In essence, they're totally ignorant of how dangerous this is. So I always say, read The Hot Zone by Richard Preston. There are a lot of other books and papers you need to be reading, but that's just the starting point. That should get your attention. Big time, it should get your attention. It'll scare you. And it's a true story with a happy ending. In the sense, no humans died. A lot of monkeys died because they were carriers. And let me remind you, this virus has jumped from species to species, from bat to monkeys to pigs and other animals and to human beings. It does jump from species to species. It's highly lethal, it's highly contagious, and it's airborne. Because the question I would ask the CDC, well, if it isn't airborne, why are so many doctors, nurses, and medical staff dying and coming down with the disease? They're suiting up. They're they're following the protocols. Okay, a few of them might have made a mistake. That happens. I understand. We're talking over 100 and climbing. There's an answer to that. It's airborne, and the CDC knows it. Because if they say if a patient, this is in their own material, if a patient becomes sick on an airliner, you're to separate him from the other patients, put a mask around him, and isolate him. You don't want that passenger to breathe on you, cough, sneeze. Actually, you don't want it even to talk, because he's a hot zone. His body is full of viruses that are trying to get out and get on and into you or anyone near him. That's why you treat it with extreme caution. And that's why you treat it when you're trying to find, first identify it, and trying to find medicine or vaccinations that can, a possible cure for it. You do it in a biosafety level 4 facility. And it's not just Ebola that's in that facility. There are other viruses that are just as deadly. But this is at the top of the list. This is by far the most dangerous. And we're cavalierly telling the American people, don't worry. If you don't come in direct contact, you'll be all right. I hope they're right, but they're not. Because that's not what they were saying a year or two ago. They demanded that if you're doing research on Ebola, that it had to be done in a biosafety level 4 lab. They understood the dangers. And the people that have had dealt with outbreaks, that is their major concern. Because let's say I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, okay, we got lucky. It didn't go through the air. But I believe in science, and I believe in reason, and I believe in evidence. You're going to have to explain to me why not only doctors and nurses, but other people that have not been in direct contact with the patient been getting the disease. In other words, people that suit up, wear the goggles, they have gloves, boots, rubber suits, you've seen it, they are decontaminated with bleach. They're following the protocol that the Center for Disease Control is recommending. Yet they break out in it. Why? They didn't touch the blood. They didn't have any direct contact. In other words, their skin did not directly come in contact with the patient. Now, I'll be the first one to say, in these undeveloped countries of Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, I'm sure there have been accidents in the sense that those suits have been punctured and they're not seen. There's a small hole. And that's all it takes to get the Ebola into your blood. If it makes direct contact, bodily fluids of someone infected makes direct contact with your skin, you could get the disease. If it goes up your nose or your mouth or your eyes, you could get the disease. Are you beginning to understand what we're up against? I've concluded that the leadership understands this. They are preparing us slowly but surely, and I think they'll drip it out over time that we have an epidemic, and then the World Health Organization ultimately will declare a pandemic. In other words, the virus is all over the world and killing people. We're in the early stages of it, the very early stages of it. We've seen nothing yet in the United States. And it was only an accident that this individual got in. If the United States had banned travelers from Liberia entering the country, he would have been turned around at our U.S. border. He still could have infected people at the airport or on the plane, and that's what you need to keep in mind. No one knows at what exact point does Ebola turn deadly. There's an incubation period. It has a lot of variability to it, from anywhere short of 2 to 3 days to as up to 21 days, while the virus is growing and replicating. It's only after it's established itself in your body do you start to get the terrible symptoms of bleeding out, for example. And here's the bigger problem. And I've said this in earlier shows. The earlier symptoms are they're identical to when you have the flu. In other words, a fever, chills, sore throat, coughing, a sense of fatigue, weakness, all of those are the symptoms of flu. We've all had the flu. So you see the problem that our healthcare professionals are faced. You walk into a hospital, let's say the professional, there are several professional buildings in Presbyterian that house the doctors there. And you present yourself to the doctor, say, "Doctor, I've had a fever, I've had the chills, I've had a sore throat, I've been coughing, I've been sneezing. What can you give me? What do I have?" Well, you have the common cold flu. That's what the doctor will suspect. He'll probably ask you now, "Well, have you been in West Africa? To Liberia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, Nigeria?" "No, I've been in Dallas all along." "Okay. Do you have any friends that have been?" "No, not that I know of. I really stay home and occasionally go out, but no, not really." "Well, good news, you probably just have the common cold." What you don't know is maybe accidentally you have passed in the hole someone that had it, and they sneezed, and you unfortunately got a tiny little drop up your nose, just like a cold is transmitted. But now it's Ebola. But when you initially go in the hospital, they can't tell the difference. Now, they can take blood, and it usually takes at least a day to get the results back. But even then, it might not indicate positive. Come back 2 days, 3 days, 4 days later, you got it. You develop some of you get a real terrible headache. You start bleeding from your nose. You get a nosebleed. And what's coming out in the blood? The virus is in the blood. And you sneeze on someone accidentally. You know, if you're sick, you suddenly have a coughing spell or a sneezing spell. And if anyone is near you, they're in danger because these tiny, tiny, tiny droplets are in the air, and they're spreading the virus. That's what's going on. So now you've gone into the doctor's office. He says, "Don't worry, go home, get some bed rest, plenty of fluids, take some ibuprofen for your fever. Don't worry about it. It's a very low probability." And he's telling you the truth. He's not misleading you. What you don't know and what the doctor doesn't know is you accidentally, with no knowledge on your part, have contacted someone that had the Ebola virus. It was a carrier, and he sneezed, and one of the droplets went up your nose, and that's all it takes. Or it went on your skin. Yes, it's a low probability, but it happens. It's happening in Africa today. And if we don't quickly get a handle on this, And we need to stop it in Africa. There, I agree with the Center Disease Control Director. We need to stop this in Africa. But the way they stop it in Africa is to quarantine the people that have it. You contain it by quarantine people. And you don't let the people of the nations that are highly infected with this come to our country. Because what should be happening, not only there, but in the United States, and the CDC has set up quarantine stations across the United States. There are not that many of them, but they do have them. We probably have the most sophisticated system in place. But a system is just as good as its people, and they know the procedures and are following the procedures. But we're not equipped today to really handle an Ebola epidemic in the United States. We simply don't have enough beds to do it. And the CDC and the president has decided, well, we'll run the risk. Let them go to the hospital. And okay, they don't have biosafety level 4 procedures and containment and the spacesuits, but they do have some protection and hope for the best. And you know what that's going to mean? A lot of doctors, a lot of nurses, a lot of innocent people are going to die because our government did not take the necessary precautions and tell the American people the truth so they can take the necessary precautions. That's what's really making me mad. And I hope this really burns out in a couple of weeks from now or a couple of months from now. This is a non-story. We dodged a bullet. But what's nagging at me is the more you talk to the experts that have experience with this, they are afraid. You don't make the assumption that it's not airborne. And that's what they're doing. They're telling people it's not airborne when they know it's airborne. You're being lied to on a life and death issue. And this, let me tell you something, given the way they're handling this, we have an elections coming up. I would throw the bums out, especially the Democrats. I don't like the Democrats or the Republicans anymore, but especially the Democrats for the way they're handling this. And they are trying to make this a political issue. They are. Jesse Jackson from Chicago, Reverend Jackson, is stirring up trouble in Dallas. Yes, he was invited by the family. He's blaming Presbyterian Hospital for not immediately treating this person, totally disregarding the fact that this gentleman that died, Thomas Eric Duncan, was subsequently treated, and the doctors, the nurses, and the staff, and the hospital treated him. They're not going to see a dime for all they did for him, but they were risking their lives. And we have this guy from Jesse Jackson from Chicago coming here stirring up trouble. He should be put on a plane and sent back. He's not welcome in Dallas. Stay out of Dallas, Jackson. You're just a race racketeer with your hand out trying to fleece people of their money. You disgust me. Shame on you. You obviously don't have any shame. You use the death of a person to go after Presbyterian Hospital, ultimately, so you can shake them down for money. That's what's going on here. Oh, it's racism. It's not racism. People made mistakes, and they corrected the mistakes and treated him. And he died. And I'm sorry he died. Why don't you mind your own business? I don't mind if you wanted to come to Dallas and comfort the family. But when you're trying to make it a racial issue and stir up trouble, that's enough. You cross the line. You're not welcome here. Go back from wherever you came. I'm disgusted with that gentleman. And he's just doing the bidding of some other people. He's a racketeer. He tries to shake down people. He has that reputation. It's about time someone put him in his place. With that, I'm looking at the time. I don't know when they're going to force me to shut down. I'll just go until they come in. I'm a little surprised they haven't come in already. They basically said I had at most 30 minutes, and I've been doing it over 30 minutes. So at any moment, they can shut me down. It'll be Monday until I'll be back on the air. But I wanted to emphasize and I've been doing it for the last several shows. I'm not an expert in Ebola. My field of expertise is in economics and financial affairs, and I'd rather be doing those stories. But my fear is, if we truly have a pandemic, this is going to put the world into a recession. Europe is already in a recession. We're on the brink of another recession. And this could have dramatic impacts on the economy. And as a result, put a lot of people out of work. We've already seen an impact on, for example, airline stocks, hotel stocks, and there's a reason. People will stop traveling, will stop taking vacations because they're afraid of becoming infected. And they'll stop shopping. They'll still have to shop for food and certain necessities, but they'll minimize that. They'll only do it maybe once a week, once a month. They'll stock up, and those that can will stay home, and those that can't, and most people can't, need to work. That's very important to say. Most people need to work to earn a paycheck to pay the bills. And should you have an epidemic like this, and we've had one before, and that's what needs to be said. There was a worldwide pandemic in 1918 that killed an estimated 50 million people worldwide. Over 660,000 people died in the United States. It was primarily people that were productive. Usually these viruses or influenza kill the young and the old. Those are the prime targets. This influenza, it's also called the Spanish flu, killed hundreds of thousands, millions, depending on where you were. Remember, that was towards the end of World War I. And more people died of the influenza or the Spanish flu than in World War I. And World War I was by far the most deadly war. I believe over 20 million people died as a result of World War I. But this breakout of influenza, another virus, killed over 50 million. That's what we're up against. But what you got to keep in mind, we didn't have airlines, literally tens of thousands of flights every day within the country as well as out of the country and coming into the country. And we have a lot more people. We had about a billion people then. Today we have over 7 billion. And we have jet airliners that can take you anywhere in the world in less than a day. 14, 15 hours on a very long flight, you can get anywhere in the world today. And that's the challenge, because it only takes one person with Ebola on a plane, and usually most planes today, depending on where you're going and how long the flight, are 150 to as many as 300 or more. And you're in a confined area, and that air in there is recycled. And if you have a person that has airborne Ebola, that air, everyone is breathing that, and it's a potential other case of the Ebola. That's why airline stocks are going down. People can see the consequences of a pandemic. It will really drastically cut travel, especially by air, and that means also, I got the signal, I got to cut it off. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air Monday at 4 o'clock. And now my closing music. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.